Luke chapter 1, we'll start in verse 28, and then we're going to go from there to Luke 11, and we're going to go two more places. Don't worry, it won't be a three-hour sermon, but Luke 1, and then we're going to go from there to Luke 11. Luke 1, 28, the scriptures say this: "The angel came in unto Mary and said, Hail, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast into her mind what manner of salutation this should be." She's getting this vision of an angel, this angel speaking with her, and all this is going on. She's wondering, what is this? "And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end." Now Mary starts to say, well, how can this be? I'm a virgin. I've never been with a man. What are you talking about? God's going to conceive a little baby in my belly, and I'm going to give birth. And if you get into Luke chapter 2, it talks about the day and the birth of Jesus and all the details that went along with that. But his name shall be called Jesus. You know what Jesus' name means? It means Jehovah is salvation. Jehovah is salvation. That God is salvation. That God came to save us. And God's perfect gift, the first perfect gift I want to talk about, listen, wasn't a man just flying out of heaven into the world. It was a baby. A little baby. That grew in the womb just like all of us here did. That was birthed and born and lived a life as a child, as a teenager, as a young man, into manhood. Listen, and there's a reason for that. Do you know why God just couldn't show up on the scene out of nowhere and say, I'm God, I came down from heaven, I'll prove it to you by signs, wonders, and miracles and all this stuff. I'll do all these things and I'll go to a cross and die for the sins of the world. Do you know why God couldn't do it like that? Because we couldn't be forgiven that way. Do you know why God had to come into the earth as a little baby and live a life the same one time, one go around that we get to live? I'm going to tell you why. Because Jesus had to live a perfect life from birth till death. Listen, every single thing, that little, can you imagine a little baby? Again, my kids' first words, and probably mine and yours were, their first words were either mama, dada, or no. No. Go talk to Luke. Everything's no. No. No, 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 no. Who taught him that? I don't know. He probably heard it from me or the kids. I don't know. But that's just their first words. No. Can you imagine having a little boy? Okay. 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 That was Jesus. All the time. But Jesus had to be born and live a perfect life from infancy to manhood. Do you know why? There's a reason for that. There's a reason why he couldn't just show up on the scene and go through the Passion Week and go to the cross for us and die for our sins. That wouldn't work. His whole life had to be perfect. His whole life, every day, every breath, every thought, for his whole life, he had to be perfect. I'm going to tell you why. Because when Jesus died on the cross, listen, not only did he pay the penalty for our sins, listen, when you believe in Jesus, you know what God does for you? You know what God did for you? God took Jesus' whole perfect life and he said, now your whole life has been perfect. Not only did he take all of your sins and place them on Jesus, he took Jesus' holy, righteous, perfect life from a baby through his teenage years into manhood, and he said, you know what? When you believed in my son Jesus, I'm going to take his whole righteous life and I'm going to give it to you. That's what God did for us. Two transactions happened on that cross when you believed in Jesus. All of your sin went to him, and all of his righteous, holy life from infancy to adulthood went to you. And that's why when you stand before God one day, God will declare you righteous, holy, and just. Not because you lived your life from infancy to adulthood holy, but because he did. That's why Jesus had to come into the world as a baby. That's why he had to be born, live a holy life, and then die for us. God's perfect gift, Jehovah is salvation, Jesus Christ. Listen, God gave us a baby. He gave us a son. It says, unto you, unto us, if you read Isaiah 9. Read Luke 2. Jesus was given to us. When we believed in him, we got his righteous life. All right, listen, go to, you know what? We're going to skip. Go to Romans 8 first. Then we'll go back to Luke 11. Romans 8. One of my favorite passages of scripture. It should be all of us if we're Christians. Romans 8. It's about the victorious Christian life. Listen, not only did God give a perfect gift of a baby, but as I alluded to already, God gave up and offered up that perfect gift for us. Look in Romans 8. We'll start in verse 28. Famous passage of scripture. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now that's us. If you love God, everything in your life is going to work out for good somehow. I don't know how, but he knows how. All right? And it says, and we can know this. We know this. That all things, that's everything, the good and the bad, the ups and the downs, all the trials, everything somehow is going to work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, that's me and you, those of us who believe in Jesus, he knew us before the world was. For whom he did foreknow, he did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, listen, whom he did predestinate, that's knowing us before the world, predestined us to believe in Christ, them he also called. That means he called you in this life when you believed in Jesus. He called you to him. Now listen. Them whom he called, them he also justified. What does justified mean? Simple definition I've heard before. Just as if you never sinned. You're just in God's eyes. So Jesus knew you before the world was. He called you when you believed in him during this life. He justified you. He made you just like you never sinned. Now watch. In whom he justified, that's us now, them he also glorified. We're going to be glorified together forever with Christ. Now listen, what shall we say to these things? What can we say to these things? Who are we that God would do this for us? We're just dirt. By the way, that's what we're made out of. Dirt. The Bible says God knows our frame. He remembers that we're but dust. He has pity on us like a father pities his children. But he predestinated us. He called us, right? He justified us, and he's going to glorify us. What can we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? If God's on your side, it doesn't matter who's against you. If you know Jesus, it doesn't matter if the whole world's against you. Right? Now listen. Listen, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemns? It is Christ that died, yea, rather is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Nobody. Nothing. Listen. You know what that means? God gave his only son for us. That perfect baby boy that became a man was offered up, it says, freely.
freely. That means you didn't have to do anything. Hey, it's not like you were running to God saying, God, you know something, I'm a bad guy and I'm a sinner. You got to come give your life for me. You know how the Bible shows us that perspective, from God's perspective? That all of us are running from God and running away from God. Hightailing it away from him as fast as we can, but it's him that runs after us. He's the one that runs after us, and he's the one that says, you know what? You can run from me all you want. I'm still going to give my life up for you freely. What can anybody say to that? If God spared not his only son, but offered him up for us all freely, how shall he not with that give us all things? Now listen, Jesus came into the world as a baby boy, God's perfect gift, a little baby. Listen, was raised, grew as a man, and was offered up freely. Listen, we sometimes have a thought about the Godhead because we can't fully figure out the triune God, all right? We can't figure out in our little minds, because we're the creation, he's the creator, how God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in one God. I can't figure that out. If in any person or religious group that has tried to figure that out, it gets cultic. Okay? I don't know, 1 + 1 + 1 = 3, but 1 × 1 × 1 = 1. So you have Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but this is our God concept. We think, well, the Father, he's up there in heaven, and he's real angry. He's mad. He's like a mean, bad father, waiting to take you out to the woodshed and whop you. All right? That's what he wants to do. But Jesus is the gentler side of God. This is what we think about God. He's the gentler, loving, compassionate side, you know, turn the other cheek side, all that. And the Holy Spirit, we kind of don't have him figured out. He's just, is he float around somewhere? Holy Ghost, he lives in us, and what does that mean? And can we feel him? And where is he? And we fully can't comprehend this whole triune God thing, nor will you ever be able to, by the way. God's ways and his thoughts are way higher than ours, the Bible says. As far as the heavens are above the earth, so far and high are his thoughts and his ways above ours. All right? It's kind of like you trying to teach an ant how to do long division. All right? I don't even know how to do long division, but I'm just telling you that's what it's like. Now listen. But we have that concept that God the Father's mad, but Jesus is not, and he died for us, and the Holy Spirit, yeah, he fills us and indwells us. But you know what the Bible says? You know what Isaiah says? It says that it pleased God to bruise him. It pleased the Father to let his son be offered up for you. And when he made his soul an offering for sin. So God the Father wasn't sitting up there in heaven just waiting to take his wrath out on somebody. He said, no. I want to give you my son. I want to offer him up for you freely. Even though, yes, you're my children now, you believe in me, and you still turn on me, you still turn on one another, you still backbite, you still gossip, you still lie, cheat, and steal, but you know what? I love you anyway. It pleased the Father to offer up the Son. Think about that. And then Paul says, what shall we say to these things? What can we say? What can anybody say? Who can lay a charge to God's elect? Who can say anything about you? Because we have an enemy, the Bible says, that goes before the throne of God day and night and says, look at them. Look at your so-called kids are sinning again. They're hurting one another. Look what they're doing to your world. Look what they're doing. You know what God says? You can't lay any charge against them. They're holy. They're just. They're pure in my sight because my son's pure. That's what he does for you. Now listen, it leads me into my next point. Not only does God give us a perfect gift in a baby that had to live a perfect life, not only does God offer up that baby for us in a perfect gift when he became a holy man, God gives us more than that. Go to Luke 11. Luke 11. Jesus teaching in the Sermon on the Mount. Famous passage of scripture.
he talks about, and he talks to the Jewish people of the day about God as their father. And that was kind of like a revolutionary concept to them in that day. Because to them, God was holy, he was set apart, he was too far to be touched and handled, and we can't comprehend him. And they had the writings of, remember, the Old Testament, and then the things that went on with Moses when God was speaking to them, to Moses from Mount Sinai. It says the mountain thundered with lightning, thunders and lightnings, and everything else was going on this mountain. And God said, if anybody even comes near this mountain, even a beast, an animal touches it, I'll strike them dead, because I'm a holy God. And that's the concept they had of God. They didn't understand the Father's heart. They didn't understand the sin offering of Jesus. And Jesus is teaching them the Sermon on the Mount about teaching them how to pray, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And as he's teaching them, he's teaching about God's love and God's heart, that yes, God is holy, but yes, God loves you. Yes, God is just, but God's going to be the one to justify you. Yes, God hates sin, but he's going to be the one to pay for it for you. And he's teaching them all this stuff. And not only does God give us that perfect gift of a little baby, not only does that baby grow up to be a man and die for us, you know what? That little baby comes and dwells within our lives in the person of the Holy Spirit. Look what it says. Luke 11, verse 9. And I, Jesus, I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Wait a minute. Who can ask? Who can seek? Who can knock? Only those who belong to God. Who's God going to open up for? Listen, if my kids come banging on the door, as much as I tell them to go away, eventually they know I'm going to open up. Really? Because I love them. And God loves you. And that's why he says, keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. You're going to find. Don't give up. Now he's going to tell us what we really should be looking for, and he's going to give us an illustration. For everyone that asks, receives, and he that seeks, finds, and to him that knocks, it shall be opened. God's not sitting up there in heaven saying, hey, I can't answer your prayers. I don't want to hear from you. I don't want to talk to you anymore. You screwed up again. You did this. You had this evil thought again. You treated this person like that again. You know what? Don't talk to me no more. God doesn't do that. We do that. I'm done with them. God never said that. He says, seek, knock, ask, keep doing it. You'll find. I'll answer your prayers. I'll come through for you. I'll do it. But you know what? We don't like the seeking part. We don't like the knocking. Oh, God, I already did that three times. And listen, in the Greek, it's continually seek. It's continually ask. It's continually knock. Because God wants to see if you're serious about what's going on in your life. And listen, when he answers that prayer, it's usually not the way you think it's going to be. Because usually our prayers are tainted with our own selfish motives. And God knows that. And he still loves us. But look what he says. Look at the illustration. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? That's a funny illustration. Remember, Jesus is teaching the disciples and the multitudes in the Sermon on the Mount. And he goes, listen, you guys that are fathers here, if your son comes up to you and says, hey, dad, I'm hungry. Right? You know, a baby boy, they eat milk, but then they start wanting food. I'm hungry. Yeah, here, have a rock. Gnaw on that for a while. You wouldn't do that. You wouldn't do that. Then he says, or if he asks a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent that will bite him? No. If he shall ask for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? Jesus is using a humorous illustration to tell these people about God's love and God's provision, right? You don't give bread. You don't give him a rock. You don't give him an egg. You don't give him a scorpion that's going to sting him and bite him and hurt him. That's not what good people do that love their children. Evil people, Jesus says, but we still know how to give good gifts to our kids. Now look what he says. If you then being evil, Jesus knows we're all evil, but he says you still know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? God's gift of the Holy Ghost. Remember Jesus said to his disciples,
He started to teach them about the cross. He started to teach them that he had to go away. He says, if I go away, I will come again. I will receive you unto myself. And the disciples are all like, where are you going? What are you talking about? We gave up our whole lives to follow you. We were fishermen. Now we are followers of a Jewish rabbi. Jesus, we've been living day to day, barely taking care of our wives and kids because we're following you. We believe in you. We've had enough to get by, but this ain't easy, Jesus. And now you're telling us you're going, going to die, go to a cross, and you're going away? He says, where are you? They say, where are you going? You know what Jesus says? Where I go, you know the way. But you can't come right now. And then he says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. And if you read down John 13, John 14, John 15, he starts to teach them about the Holy Ghost. He says, yes, I'm going away, but I'm going to come again to you. When the Holy Ghost comes, listen, he'll teach you all things. He'll comfort you. He'll guide you into all truth. So yes, I'm going away, but I'm coming to you in the person of the Holy Ghost. And listen, when you believe in Jesus, when you receive Jesus, listen, that gift was given to you, the Son of God crucified for you. But listen, Christianity, stay with me, is the only religion, okay? Every other religion that's out there is, yeah, there may be a God and he's way over there somewhere. He's out there. We can't figure out where he is or what he's doing. We're not sure. We can reach him by getting on our faces in om and om, om, om all day long. That's how we get to know God. Om, and if you do that, or hamen, right? And other religions say, you know, if you're a Muslim, you take one journey to Mecca your whole life. You get down and during the call to prayer, you get your little prayer mat out and you pray five times a day towards Mecca. And you say there, you know, there's only one God, Allah, Muhammad is prophet. If you say that, if Allah feels like it, you'll be one of his, not his kids, but one of his followers. Pagan. Every other religion is like that. Out there, over there, where's God? You know what Christianity says? That God literally lives in the believer relationally. That his spirit meshes with your spirit. And that's why the scriptures say, listen, that our spirit bears witness with his spirit that we are the sons and the daughters of God. Christianity is the only religion that says that. See, because man can't make this stuff up. Only God can. God wants to dwell with his people, have an intimate relationship with them. And he does that in the person, in the work of the Holy Ghost within you. Now, what does that mean? That means, remember you believed in Jesus and your conscience came alive again? You started to care a little bit more about things, right? And then you start to learn the word of God. And then you start to go through some things. And the Holy Spirit brings the word of God back to your mind. Because he guides you. He leads you. He comforts you. He exhorts you. He pushes you to serve Jesus. Listen, when you fall, he's the one that calls you back. Let me give you a quick four example. I didn't have the greatest morning this morning and last night. You can ask my kids. But as I was coming out of the office, listen, as I was coming out of the office this morning, to come up for this sermon, something said, why don't you get on your knees right now and pray? You know who said that to me? The Holy Ghost. So I did one of these. I did like a double take. One, two. And I turned back in the office, and I got on my knees, and I prayed. Do you know how I know that didn't come from me? Because Matthew Nadwani, in his mind and his flesh, don't want to do that. But the Holy Ghost wants me to do that. That's how God dwells with the believer. He has a relationship with the believer. That's God's gift to us. Listen, the Holy Spirit guides, he comforts, he exhorts. Listen, he empowers. He empowers you to live for Jesus Christ. It's Christ literally living his life in and through the believer. That's God's gift to you. If you then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much, listen, much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him. Listen, God knows what our needs are. Our needs, listen, they're often, God, you know what? If I had a little bit more money, if I had just some peace in my marriage, and if my kids were doing this, and I need some of this, and God, you know that. God knows all those things, but God knows what you need more than anything is more of the life of Christ living in and through you and the person of the Holy Ghost. That's what you need. You need God's perspective on things. You need God's heart on things. You need God's mind on things. That's what we need. And God knows that. And he said, you guys are evil and you know how to treat your kids good and give them good things. How much more shall your Father in heaven, your Father, give the Holy Ghost to them that ask him? I got to ask God all the time, God, I need more of your Spirit. I need a fresh filling of your Holy Spirit. God, come and fill me up again. Lord, I need you because I'm leaking and I'm getting cold, I'm getting old, I'm getting stale, I'm getting all these things, God, but forgive me because I need more of your Spirit. I need more of your perspective. All the time. Daily. He said, how much more should your Heavenly Father do that for you? That's God's perfect gift. Now listen, lastly, go to James 1. And I talked about this a couple weeks ago. God's perfect gifts, a baby in a manger that became a man that went to a cross to die for your sins, the Holy Ghost that can indwell you and have a relationship with you so you can glorify God, and last but not least, God's gift of tribulation to make you more like Jesus Christ. Look what it says. James 1, verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. You know what that means? You know what the context of James 1 is? He's writing to believers that are scattered abroad, all right? And they're scattered because they're losing their lives. They're losing their homes for the gospel's sake. These early first century believers were really suffering, okay? And what started to go on in the churches was this. People were so poor and they were hurting so much as the early believers were scattered, right? Once in a while, they would get a brother or sister in there that was a little bit more well off. So what the pastors, listen, stay with me now. What the pastors of the churches were doing was like, oh, we got to treat these people right so they can give some money so they can help these poor brothers. Their heart was right for wanting to help you, but their motives were wrong in doing it. So what they were doing was, let's sit them up the front in the church and, you know, and have an extra special blessing for them so they can help out the brother or sister that's really in need. And James says, he writes them, he says, I know you're hurting, I know you're scattered, I know a lot of you are losing homes and losing things for the cause of Christ. If that richer brother comes in there, you treat him like anybody else. Because I want to tell you something, when he goes through hard times and trials, they're just as real as the poor brother going through hard times and trials. And then he says this, listen, in verse 16, do not err, my beloved brethren. He says this, don't make the mistake of when you're going through the hard times and the trials and the difficulties in your marriages, in your homes, with your kids, with your finances, with your ministries, with everything. Don't make the mistake and say, God, is there a dark side to you? He says, don't make that mistake. When you go through the hard times and you lose out on something, you lose a job, you lose a child, you lose a spouse, you lose something. Continual heartache in your marriage, in your relationships, and whatever it is. He goes, don't sit there ever and say, do not err, my beloved brethren. Don't sit there and say, God, why are you doing this to me? He says, don't do that. Don't make that mistake. When you have lost like these early believers had, when you have difficulties, just like these early believers had, we have the same ones. When you lose a loved one, a spouse, you have a handicapped son or daughter, when those things happen, don't sit there and say, God, why are you doing this to me? Because you know what God calls it? A good and perfect gift. A good and perfect gift. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, listen, and comes down from the Father of lights. You know what that means? That God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. God is only pure. God is only just. God is only holy. God only wants what's best for you. And yes, you know what? If you have struggles in your life, in your marriages, in your homes, with finances, with laziness, and all the battles that we have as Christian men and women, you know what God says? That's my good gift to you. You say, how can that be? How can that be? Because those gifts that we don't often see as gifts, sometimes we err. Verse 16, we make the mistake and we say, God, why'd you do this? Why'd you have to do that? Why are you letting this happen? Why, God? This isn't fair. This isn't right. It's those exact good gifts that God uses to make us more like Jesus Christ. That's exactly what he does. I wish I could come up with a better way, but I want to tell you something. There is no better way. Because through the suffering and through the trials and through the difficulties and through all these things we have to go through the tribulation and the battles, all of that, God says, now my son can shine in and through you a little bit more. Now I can see him. All the freaking out that you did, all the giving up, all the cursing, all the wondering, all the whining, all of that, in the midst of it, you know what? I can still see some faith in my son Jesus. And that's good, and that's perfect, and that's from the Father of lights. It says there's no variableness, there's no other side to him, there's no shadow of turning. He only wants what's best for you, all the time. Through our physical sufferings, through our mentals, through everything, God's perfect gifts. Now listen. And I told this story 3 or 4 times before, and I'll close with it. It's kind of really heart-wrenching. It's difficult for me to tell it. But as I was studying, I didn't plan to say it. God, the Holy Spirit kind of brought this illustration to my mind. And you probably heard me tell it before, but it's a true story. It's about a family who... They had a daughter who was in a tragic car accident. I think she was a 7-year-old girl. I heard this about 10 years ago, but it is a true story. And the parents got the call that the, I don't know if she was coming back from a school event or with another family or something like that. But the parents got the call that there's been an accident, a car accident, and you need to get to the hospital now because your daughter's gonna die. And so they're like, you know, I can't even imagine getting that news, but they run to the hospital. And of course, you know, right away they know that their daughter's gonna die. They spend their last moments with them. And I don't know if you know this, but when those things happen, there's people all around the country, all around the world, waiting for transplants and organs because there's another kid that's going to die somewhere. Now listen, this is a true story. I can't even imagine this. And it happens all the time. It happens every day. And the daughter, you know, passes on, and they get the call right away. You know, would you want to save a life? Would you want to save a life? There's a little boy, you know, so-and-so, 6 or 7 years old, needs a heart transplant or he's going to die. So they do a, can you imagine all this emotion and all this stuff going on all at once? You know, my kid's dead. Now you want to take a piece of my kid out and give it to another kid. You don't even know what to say or what to do. But so they have a quick consultation. They get the parents on the phone with one another. And the arrangements, you know, made, and the parents only had one request of that family who was asking for that heart from that little girl that died, and it was amazing. They said, when that transplant's complete, we just have one request, and they said, anything, whatever you want, anything, just, you know, we want to save our son. And they said, all we want to do is when the transplant's done and the healing is complete and everything is good, We just want to be able to put our ear on your son's chest and hear our daughter's heartbeat one more time. Can you imagine that? I can't even imagine that. I've told this story like 7 times, and every time it gets me choked up. So they did. The parents met the little boy after their daughter was long gone and buried. And they met the little boy, healed up well, and they put their ear on his chest, and they heard their daughter's heartbeat in that little boy. See, and you say, well, what does God want from me? What does God expect from me as a Christian? That he gave me a little boy, a little baby that went to a cross. He offered him up for me. He gives me the Holy Ghost. He gives me trials and tribulations that drive me back to him constantly. What does he want from me? You know what all he wants from you? He wants the heartbeat of his son to live through you. That's it. That's all he wants. He wants you to surrender your life a little bit more so Jesus can live a little bit more through you, so God can hear the heartbeat of his son, Jesus, through you. That's what he wants. Because every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you so much for your perfect gifts, Lord. We thank you so much that you gave us Jesus. We thank you so much that you've given us the Holy Ghost. We thank you so much, Lord, that when we fail and we fall, that's when you begin again in us, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that the life of Christ lives in and through us. And I pray for more of his power and the power of the Holy Ghost in your people. Lord, send us revival in our hearts, in our church, in this area, in this country. Forgive us our sins, because they're many, and make us more like Jesus. Bless your people as we worship. In his name, amen.